Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ah, a new year. Exciting, isn't it?
Dump them.
We had to do that already today with a guest. Had to use the old big red button today. Thanks to everybody who was a part of this on this New Year's Eve day. Anthony Heron, thanks for sitting in today. Much appreciated. Thanks Ray Diaz, to Tyler Buterbaugh, to Robbie Triano for, I don't know, like 10 minutes of work he came in here. Gets the full credit. I know they were scrambling around trying to get all the video stuff done today. So thanks to Matt Anaya and Connor O'Donnell for their very hard work in that regard. And now out to Trace we go. And it's Lawrence Holmes and Layla Rahimi on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Hello, folks.
Yeah, we got the partner swap going on today.
That's inappropriate, but a good way to end 2024.
It is. So, yeah, we are here at Trace watching all of the people kind of mill around Wrigley Field, figuring out if there's going to be hockey.
Yeah, when do we know?
I don't know. I mean, it's still raining. And the temperature is going to drop, so that's probably good. But people that I've been told that there is a window that closes at 6 p.m.
Is this a Roger Bossard window, or is this a non-Roger Bossard window?
I think this is the Roger Bossard, but the window is like either you play it by 6 o'clock or you play it tomorrow, which the forecast is much better for hockey. But if you're TNT, you're like, oh, now I got to go up against all of the bowl games.
Well, you decided to play in the elements. The elements are going to tell you who's boss.
Isn't there an ice expert from the Edmonton Oilers? Isn't he the Roger Bossard?
Yeah, but like I don't know that he can fix weather, Dan.
No,
but
it's literally raining. No, but he would. He may not be able to fix it, but he also would be able to know like what's salvageable and what's not, and how to backtime everything.
How soupy is this hockey?
And how to turn up the compressor to a certain or down to the compressor to a certain temperature?
Well, obviously I'm not a weather expert, but there's a lot of stuff going on. Like one, it's still raining now, right? And then in a couple hours, we're supposed to get it into the low 30s. So that'll be perfect for the ice, but it won't be perfect for the ice if it's destroyed, which ideally with it raining and being 42 degrees today, you know, it's rough. But people are festive.
If it's cold enough, the rain will turn to ice, right? It's not that simple.
You need to be at 32 degrees or some such.
Correct.
Around there.
Ideally, they would like for that to happen by 6 o'clock.
I, for one, don't prefer it, but I understand it is necessary for this situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to skate on soopy ice. I know that.
No.
He was a great comedian back in the 1920s.
No, he was a rapper, I believe, actually.
He's soupy.
So
ice.
I want the let the record reflect, Layla, that the High Noon story that I said I was going to save for today, I did. Indeed.
I heard the tease. I did not hear the High Noon segment. I have to go back on Rewind and listen to it. And I'm not happy about it.
It's
because you were really, your mind was already there yesterday. Like, there wasn't even a doubt about that.
What was the story?
Well, you know, it's the end of the year, and Dan likes to get into a little bit of Yaha time, a little bit of sports time. And Dan likes to do the annual, what things were found inside someone's person in an inappropriate place to end the year.
Yeah,
the former Deadspin guys, now with Defector, collect all the official data from the emergency rooms. with the descriptions and everything and or the x-rays that are taken. And it was a long list of things found in various cavities. And we did only the one that all human beings share. Oh, because there were others, but that's the and oh boy, were there some winners. I don't want to spoil it for you.
After having been your radio partner now since the latter part of 2020, regularly in some way, shape, or form, I can safely say that I know that much about you that it was on your mind from the beginning of the week.
Maybe, maybe
don't lie
it was.
To me.
Maybe it just was,
and I began still.
It's about knowing your people.
It's true. Did I hear you tell the ring story again?
I did.
I never heard it.
Yeah. This was the Justin Jefferson put his million-dollar chain in his pads. So, I went with the ring story again today just as a jewelry offshoot for a personal experience.
Is there anyone that would have been on any of the staffs that you worked for that you would have trusted with that necklace?
Yeah.
Knowing how much it costs.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's usually somewhere in the hierarchy of organizations, there's a requisite amount, like a balance of respect and fear that's there for certain, you know, aspects of the team. Like someone on the athletic training staff or like an assistant strength coach who, you know, like is a enough of a peer while also kind of recognizing that if they mess up, then something could go horribly wrong for them. That type of vibe.
So Big Dom, you're looking for a Big Dom type.
Yeah, some at least a Big Dom archetype. You know, someone along those lines. Yeah, you can find someone trusted enough for that.
There was a guy in one of the teams, the minor league basketball teams I worked for, who the trainer would collect valuables before a game because guys, wherever, you know, we were in these rinky-dink arenas where you never trusted anybody, and the trainer would keep it in a lock bag and bring it out to the floor with him. So he's like, hey, anybody have any valuables they want me to lock up? And the guy's like, yeah, my Rolex. So he walks over and he's got this, and he hands the Rolex to him, and the trainer takes a look at it and goes, you know this is fake, right? Like I said, what do you mean? He goes, this is it's a really bad fake. He's look at the second hand here. He goes, that's not how Rolex second hand works. And he went to one of the former NBA guys had an actual Rolex, and he's like, that's your second hand is going tick, 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 tick. And the guy's like, I'll be damned. I thought it was a good price.
You know what? The older I get, the less I care. Like if people want to wear what they want to wear, and it's
also you don't care about like name brand, like
the sourcing of it. Like I just don't. Who are you trying to impress? If you want to impress yourself, good, great, do that. If I care about your accessories, I have the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Well a good watch appreciates in value, though.
If you get ripped off, that's sure. But if you get ripped off, that's one thing, right? If you pay too much and it's essentially stealing. But in the case of if you like it, I don't care. You know?
Yeah,
it's on me if I do care.
That's healthy.
Buying something within your budget is always a good way to operate, but from an investment perspective, which some people will view the diamonds as investments, then yeah, I get trying to pay for quality or pay for something that's going to either appreciate or hold its value or something like that. I haven't bought a lot of jewelry over the years, but you know, try to go ahead and I guess get something quality when it's there just to make sure it's going to hold up over time. But yeah, it's been a minute since I've had to think about entrusting someone else with it like I did on that fateful night in Green Bay.
And it all ended up working out. See?
It's worked out well so far. So far it has, yeah. I had some different personal history today where Dad had me bad-mouthing Horace Grant for the first time. I've never bad-mouthed Horace Grant before.
Jeez, add him to the Brad Pitt list.
No, you didn't bad-mouth him. This is because I know how things get, and I know how people hear what they want to hear. You didn't bad-mouth him, to be fair. I was just making fun of you.
Hey, what's your beef with Horace Grant?
No, I put together the list of people. First of all, I applauded the Bulls for not retiring Derrick Rose's number on the 4th.
It's ridiculous.
I applauded the Bulls because that is he. There are at least seven off the top of my head, eight maybe ten in front of him that deserve it more.
And he has Horace Grant on that list.
And Horace Grant is absolutely on that list.
Well, because he's going off of a statistical list based on win share.
No, that's part of it. It's also just being better and more important.
But was Horace Grant the youngest MVP the league has ever had?
No, but that's not what you retire. It's fine. Then you give him a little special place and you have a plaque.
But you base it off win shares.
Aren't you one who says, not MVPs, but win shares. Eras? Aren't you that person?
Yeah, but he wasn't that good. He wasn't a good enough player to deserve having his number retired.
But Horace Grant was.
Yes.
All right. So that's just a silly argument. It's just a silly case of making.
Who do you think has more win shares as a Bull, Reggie Theus or Derrick Rose?
I don't care.
Well,
who meant more to the Bulls and who meant more to Chicago, Reggie Theus?
But that's the meaning something to Chicago is not why you retire a number.
I'm sorry. What's the first name of the Chicago Bulls? Chicago,
yeah, but that's man, not. So but
that's a part.
It's
of
not
it,
a criterion. So. If he were from Cleveland,
you're making up this criteria. We can make whatever the hell we want.
Well, that's a dumb reason for retiring a number that a guy happens to be from here.
No, we're adding that to him being the youngest MVP in the league.
It's still he's not even close to being eligible or being worthy of it.
According to who?
Well, so far, according to the Bulls' logic.
Okay, so far, that doesn't mean that they're not going to retire his jersey.
He's going to be in the
Then retire Chet Walker, and you better hurry to retire Jimmy Butler, Chet Walker.
Were either one of those players the youngest MVP in the league?
Okay, but that's an arbitrary achievement.
No, it's not, Dan.
It's one remarkable achievement.
It is concrete.
Yeah, but so
for a year,
so how many? Seven all-star teams for Chet Walker?
Yeah, but there was never a point where Chet Walker was named the best player in the league.
He's a Hall of Famer. Chet Walker's in the Hall of Fame.
Dan, I understand that. But for one season, Derrick Rose was the best player.
That's not worthy of getting your number retired. Okay. That's worthy of having a night where people can buy things with your name on it.
I think there's a question. Awesome. There's a deeper question here, and it actually springs a lot of topics to me. It's the dominance you had in a shorter amount of time versus the amount of time people did play at a certain level. And those you can compare and contrast. But to me, that man was unstoppable.
If you want to go with peak value, there have been a lot of Bulls that have had some pretty spectacular seasons.
But not like that.
There have been a lot of Bulls that have some spectacular
seasons. Compared to the rest of the league?
Look at the year Nate Thurmond had as a Bull.
Some of the names that came up on the text line were names like Gale Sayers, you know, being in the Hall of Fame. Terrell Davis, of course, you know, making it in with the Broncos over more of an abbreviated portion of dominance, still getting into the Hall of Fame in their individual sports. And D. Rose did end up playing again afterwards, but he was never the same after the knee injury. So, I mean, I think in perception, you could almost make the case that if he hadn't played again, but just had that 4 year, whatever it was, 5 years to start his career, and then was just never able to get back onto the court, then in perception, he'd be perceived differently than being a lesser version of himself for, you know, whatever it ended up becoming, you know, another 6-7 years after that.
And frankly, I do measure the intangibles here. I do measure that he went to Simeon. I do measure that he came out of college out of Memphis the way he did. I do measure the fact that he represented this city, that he took that on.
Well, that's great. It's just not enough to retire a number. Not if the numbers you have retired
according to you.
But Sloan loved Jordan Pippen. That's it. Sloan loved Jordan Pippen.
Okay, and apparently Horace Grant.
I have no problem with those guys being having their number retired.
Yeah, but the Derrick Rose shouldn't be mentioned near any of those guys.
All right, I think that's just silly. That's just silly talk.
He doesn't deserve it. He shouldn't be mentioned next to any. He shouldn't be mentioned the same breath as those guys.
How many more years? I don't know if you've evaluated this or not. How many more years of being that version of Derrick Rose would it have taken?
It doesn't matter. He didn't. He wasn't. Okay.
There's also
but I'm just saying time seems to be largely a part of what you're basing that off of. You admit he was elite.
It sucks he got hurt, but he got hurt, and great longevity and durability is part of greatness.
I agree that that's part of greatness. Would 6 years have gotten it? Would 8 years have gotten it?
I don't know. I didn't see those, so I don't know.
Okay.
I also think that there's value to the individual team. We are talking about a Hall of Fame discussion right now. We're talking about the individual Bulls and what people meant to that team.
All right. Well, they didn't win anything.
He won a lot. He didn't win a championship.
And
LeBron was in the league
because he ran into the real one.
Yeah, there was a player who was decidedly better than Derrick Rose. That doesn't mean Derrick Rose wasn't great. But yes, LeBron was obviously better.
I'm not saying he didn't have a great few years, but that number should not be kept from other people wearing it.
I don't think the Bulls are retiring LeBron's number.
It's going to happen.
I'm not saying it may happen, but it would be for cynical, pandering marketing purposes. It would be a grave injustice.
What other reason is there to do something like that?
If you really think it's a true deserved honor,
then if they think it's a true deserved honor, who are you to say he's not worthy?
Because he's not. Because then I'm there for Artis Gilmore. I'm there for Joakim Noah.
Great.
I'm there for Luol Deng and everybody else who should have their.
Put your soapbox out. And yep. You can make that argument for
it would be, and
I would imagine that those guys are not going to have their numbers retired since they aren't retired so far. And if it happens for Derrick Rose, it doesn't invalidate the guys whose numbers are already retired.
But it doesn't
invalidate those guys that you would put your soapbox out on the street corner and argue
I think
for.
It's short-sighted pandering that cheats greater players out of an honor that they deserve.
Okay. I disagree.
Okay. So did Anthony. It was good. We spent a half an hour talking about it.
I didn't think somebody was ever going to give me the badmouth Horace Grant, but that's where it ended up. Somehow Dan accomplished that.
You didn't badmouth Horace Grant.
Horace was my first basketball nickname. Horace. I had the rec specs. Somehow Dan got me out here hating on Horace.
Oh, you got the rec specs. I was trying to figure out why.
Is that when you ended up on the donkey?
So that was actually, no, that was a football event somehow. The donkey ball thing was a football fundraiser where a bunch of football players were on donkeys playing basketball.
Ray, you've never heard this? Event.
I have not either. And no, I hadn't heard the ring story, by the way, either.
No. Anthony tore up a floor. He owes Bolingbrook High School a basketball court or something.
That court got ripped up, too. Because I don't know if you know this, donkeys are famously stubborn. And so my donkey didn't want to run down the court. You had to be on the donkey to advance the basketball. My donkey got to a point, maybe it was because I was just big and heavy, or he decided he wasn't going to carry me around anymore. So I had to hop off the donkey, and I'm dragging the donkey down the basketball court at Bolingbrook High School just to get near the action. And, you know, I was Quadzilla back then. I was a Quadzilla, so I was able to drag the donkey by the reins down the court so I could get involved in the hoops action. That was me back
remember,
then.
Do you remember that donkey's name?
I was just going to ask.
Oh, no. Unfortunately,
Abigail.
Not. Abigail? Could be.
Where I grew up, the children's home in town had a donkey named Abigail, and she drank Dr. Pepper. She lived a long life.
I thought you were going to say she drank.
Period.
Technically, yes, but just Dr. Pepper.
Well, Abigail, she's seen some stuff. And it's
I would not have guessed donkeys were supposed to drink Dr. Pepper.
She did. She was fine. She lived a good life.
I don't recall the donkey's name.
Somebody knows it. Doesn't the old AD there know it probably?
Elvira.
I don't think he ever did that event again after what I did to his basketball court. So he may have blacked it out at some point.
Well, I hope there's hockey. I hope people are rewarded for soldiering through everything that they're experiencing today.
They should. They're
packed.
Out here.
Yeah, it was packed on the red line getting to Trace today. A lot of St. Louis Blues fans on the red line. So good for you
God.
Guys. Good for you guys to get the Chicago experience, take the red line, live in convenience, you know, milling about smartly. There's people here.
Do the St. Louis Blues here. Fans know that you're not allowed to smoke in buildings here? Because my experience around them is just they all smell like ashtrays.
I mean, every Blues fan I've run into today has been pleasant. So
okay. That was not the smell I partook on the red line today.
Right. Well, the red line, you're not going to ever smell. You will smell something.
The substance is technically legal in the state.
Got it.
I don't think it was being consumed at the time in the car.
Got it.
But, yeah, for the record.
So we're going to have Jay Zawoski. He's going to join us and talk hockey. With us in about 20 minutes.
More or less.
We are also going to talk with Lance Briggs about your Chicago Bears. Jason Leisure joins us at 4 o'clock. Layla and I have other stuff that we want to get into, and we will do that after Sean's Open. Next, here on The Score.